All right, everyone, get ready for this one because we're about to do a deep dive into the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. We've got all sorts of academic texts and commentaries, a whole stack of them to get through. I'm very excited to see what kind of wisdom we can pull out of all of this. You know, this is a lot more than just some old stories, right? It's really a foundation for understanding Western civilization.
Yeah.
And just packed with insights into leadership and faith and all the consequences of our choices.
Yeah, it's amazing. It really is fascinating how these texts, written so long ago, thousands of years ago, still have so much meaning for us today. You know, it's not just about some events that happened way back when. It's about these really big, timeless questions about humanity and our relationship with God.
Exactly. And our sources, they paint a really vivid picture of the historical setting, ancient Egypt and Mesopotamia during the late Bronze Age and the New Kingdom. So Egypt was really becoming a superpower at this time, influencing trade, exerting their power all across the Syria-Palestine region. And Mesopotamia, on the other hand, was a little bit less stable. They were facing all these challenges, foreign invasions, all sorts of stuff, really pushing people to look for opportunities elsewhere, like in Egypt.
Right. And that really sets the stage for the entrance of Moses. I mean, talk about an origin story, right? Born during all this turmoil, put in a basket on the Nile to escape death, raised by Pharaoh's daughter, and then bam, called by God to lead the Israelites out of slavery. I mean, can you imagine how you would even deal with that kind of responsibility?
Oh man, I'm getting chills just thinking about it. Hearing God's voice through a burning bush, that's intense. So did Moses just accept this divine mission, no questions asked? Or were there some doubts that he had to wrestle with?
That's a really great question. You know, the texts do show us that Moses was hesitant at first. He even questioned if he could really do it. You know, he had doubts about being a good speaker and a leader. I think it's a good reminder that even these really important figures in history, they struggled with insecurity and self-doubt, just like us.
It definitely makes him seem more relatable, that's for sure. But ultimately, he does answer the call. He leads the Israelites out of Egypt in this incredible display of divine power, what we call the Exodus. But it's more than just this daring escape, right? Our sources, they emphasize that God is acting on purpose here. He's remembering those covenants made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He hears the cries of the Israelites and he responds, sending those plagues, challenging Pharaoh's authority, really showing that he is the one true God.
Yeah, each one of those plagues, they really targeted these specific Egyptian deities, you know, undermining their power and showing how powerful God is. It wasn't just random chaos. It was very symbolic. Like, he was taking apart the whole Egyptian worldview.
Right. And then comes the parting of the Red Sea. I mean, that's just mind-blowing. But here's what really gets me. After witnessing all these incredible miracles, Israelites' faith, it's still shaky at best. They get into the wilderness and immediately start complaining about food, complaining about leadership. It just makes you wonder, did they really get what it meant to have this covenant relationship with God?
That's such a good point. That wilderness journey really becomes this huge test of their faith, this crucible where their belief is constantly being challenged. Instead of trusting that God will take care of them, they fall back into these old habits, you know, doubt and fear. That story of the spies sent into Canaan, that's a perfect example. Think about it. They're so close to entering this promised land, this land flowing with milk and honey, but they're so focused on all the obstacles instead of all that abundance.
They're so worried about those giants in the land that they miss the huge opportunity right there in front of them. Their fear totally distorts how they see things, and it ends up having real consequences. That whole generation ends up wandering the wilderness for 40 years. They can't enter the promised land. It's a pretty stark warning that the choices we make, especially those based on fear, they can have consequences for a really long time.
Absolutely. It really sets up this recurring theme we see throughout the Pentateuch, this idea of the consequences of obedience and disobedience. The wilderness journey is full of these tests, all these opportunities for the Israelites to choose faith over fear. But they don't always make the right choice, not by a long shot.
Okay, so we've got these Israelites wandering around in the wilderness, right, trying to figure out their faith and definitely pushing God's buttons a bit. But even with all that, there are some pretty remarkable things that happen, like that whole story with the fiery serpents. What's the deeper meaning there?
So when the Israelites are getting bitten by all these venomous snakes, right?
Yeah.
God tells Moses to make a bronze serpent and put it up on a pole. Anyone who looks at it will be healed. It's really powerful. God showing his mercy, his willingness to provide healing, even when his people are suffering because of their own disobedience.
It's like it's pointing towards the idea of looking to a higher power for salvation, almost like a prefiguration of Christ's sacrifice.
Okay. Exactly. Looking at that bronze serpent with faith becomes this way of receiving God's grace. Like you said, it foreshadows how through faith in Christ, we can be healed from the poison of sin.
There are a lot of these symbolic events in the Pentateuch. It's easy to just get caught up in the literal story. But our sources keep talking about this idea of holiness as a central theme. Mm-hmm. How does that concept play out in these texts?
Well, holiness in the Pentateuch, it goes beyond just being a good person. It's about being set apart, recognizing that God is completely different, totally transcendent. It's about putting God above everything else. And this idea, it shapes everything, mm-hmm. from the laws and rituals to even, you know, what they could and couldn't eat.
It's like they were constantly reminded of what was sacred and what was just ordinary.
Right, exactly. And one of the clearest examples of this is the story of Nadab and Abihu, Aaron's sons. They offered up this, what they call strange fire before the Lord. Basically, they tried to worship God how they wanted, not how God commanded.
I'm guessing that didn't go over so well.
Not even a little bit. They were defiant, and it cost them their lives.
Yeah.
God took holiness seriously. Following his exact way of worship, that was important.
It really makes you think about the weight of responsibility those priests must have felt. But even with these really clear warnings, the Israelites kept messing up. So the Day of Atonement, that was supposed to deal with all the sin and rebellion, right?
The Day of Atonement was a big deal for the Israelites. It was the most solemn day of the entire year. It was all about purification, cleansing the whole nation from all their sins.
So what did that look like? A lot of incense? Maybe some animal sacrifices?
It was a whole big ritual with all these different offerings. They'd sacrifice a bull for the high priest's sins and two goats for all the people's sins. The high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, the most sacred place in the tabernacle. He'd make offerings and atone for the entire community.
It's amazing how this ancient ritual speaks to something so universal, this need for forgiveness, for reconciliation.
Yeah, one goat would be sacrificed, its blood sprinkled on the mercy seat to show that sin was covered. The other goat, the scapegoat, would be sent out into the wilderness, carrying all the confessed sins of the people away.
Like they were taking all that guilt and impurity and just putting on this goat and sending it away. Was this meant to be like therapeutic? Or was there something more to it spiritually?
The Day of Atonement was all about reminding them that they needed atonement, that their sins needed to be covered. It pointed to a deeper need for reconciliation with God. Makes you think, right?
It does. And if the Day of Atonement was about forgiveness, the story of the spies in Numbers, chapters 13 and 14, well, that seems to be all about how fear and doubt can lead to some really bad choices.
They had seen God rescue them from Egypt. But when it came to entering the promised land, they let their fear take over.
Those spies were so focused on the bad stuff, the giants, the strong cities, all that.
They missed the whole point. And their negativity, it spread like wildfire. Everyone started rebelling against Moses and Aaron. They even questioned if God was really with them. They wanted to go back to being slaves in Egypt.
Can you believe that? Talk about missing the forest for the trees. They were free from slavery, had seen all these miracles, but their fear was so strong it made them reject God's promises. Pretty big warning.
Absolutely. It shows us that our beliefs and choices have consequences, real consequences. And their doubt and rebellion, they had devastating consequences. That whole generation, except for Joshua and Caleb, couldn't go into the promised land. They had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years.
Makes you think about all the times fear holds us back, even when we're about to achieve something amazing.
We see the Israelites struggling with this all the time in the Pentateuch. That constant back and forth between faith and fear.
A very human struggle, even today. But eventually they do get to a turning point. Deuteronomy is like the climax of their journey, a restatement of the covenant, with some pretty specific terms.
Deuteronomy lays it all out. The good stuff that comes with obedience and the bad stuff that follows disobedience.
Deuteronomy 28 really paints a clear picture, doesn't it? Obedience brings prosperity, abundance, victory over enemies, a flourishing society. But if you reject God's commands, disease, famine, defeat, poverty, and in the end, exile.
God was making it very clear what was at stake. Those blessings and curses in Deuteronomy 28, they were meant to motivate the Israelites, to choose what was right, to live according to God's will.
It's like a contract from God with very specific terms.
You could say that. The language is strong, meant to evoke a strong reaction.
Makes you wonder how the Israelites felt when they heard all of this. Did it inspire them to change, or did they keep making the same mistakes?
Great question. And it brings us to the last part of our deep dive. We'll explore Moses' legacy and the impact that the Pentateuch has had.
You know, we've talked a lot about this struggle between faith and fear in the Pentateuch, and I think it really all comes together with Moses. He leads the Israelites out of Egypt, performs all those miracles, even speaks to God face to face, but then he can't enter the Promised Land. It's kind of a sad ending, isn't it? What's the meaning behind that?
Yeah, it's definitely makes you think. Even the greatest leaders make mistakes, right? And those mistakes, they can have huge consequences. Moses disobeyed God at Meribah. He struck the rock twice instead of just speaking to it, like God told him to. And because of that, he couldn't go into the land he had worked so hard for his whole life.
Yeah. We talked about how he was so reluctant at first to even take on this leadership role. But he really grew so much on that journey, facing Pharaoh, dealing with all those challenges in the wilderness. But after all that, one act of disobedience just ruins everything. Seems a little unfair.
Well, it shows us something really important about the covenant and the importance of obedience. It's not just about following the rules blindly. It's about recognizing God's authority and doing what he says, even when it doesn't make sense to us. Moses, he got frustrated and took things into his own hands instead of trusting God to provide him.
So even someone who was so close to God could still mess up. Makes you think, for sure,
yeah,
about our own struggles with doing what we're supposed to do. All those times we think we know better than, well, a higher power.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is, even though he failed, Moses's legacy isn't totally destroyed. He still gives those final speeches, those blessings to the Israelites, getting them ready for what's next, passing on the leadership to Joshua. There's a feeling of, I don't know, redemption, even though there's disappointment too.
Right. And then there's the Song of Moses. Such a fitting way to end his journey. What's the significance of that final song?
The Song of Moses, it's this powerful poem, really, reflecting on God's faithfulness, the history of Israel, and warning them about what could happen if they disobey again. It's like summing up all those lessons they learned, all the ups and downs of their journey, reminding them about the covenant they're entering into. It's a call to be faithful, a warning against idolatry, and it celebrates God's power to redeem.
And you can really see how Moses' influence goes way beyond just his own life. The Pentateuch, the foundation of the Hebrew Bible, it shapes who the Israelites are, their religious and cultural identity. And it's still influencing Western civilization today.
Absolutely. The laws, the stories, those theological ideas, they've shaped so much. From our legal systems to how we think about ethics to our spiritual beliefs, it's pretty amazing to think about how much impact these texts have had.
So after this whole deep dive into the Pentateuch, what's the one thing you really hope our listeners take away from this? What's the biggest thing you've learned from exploring all of this?
You know, for me, it's remembering that these ancient stories, they're not just some events from the past. They deal with questions we still ask ourselves today about faith, about doing the right thing, the consequences of our choices, and what it means to have a relationship with God. They make us think about what we believe, how we act, and how our choices shape not just our own lives, but the world around us.
It's been a really incredible journey going this deep into the Pentateuch. We've covered a lot, from the plagues of Egypt to wandering in the wilderness, from all those rules about holiness to what happens when you disobey. And I think you're right. These stories are still meaningful to us today. They give us insights that are just as relevant now as they were back then. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.